Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here today, and we do pray that you would bless your word. We pray, Lord, that folks going out here this morning would realize that the word of God is something that can speak to their hearts and give them direction for life. And also, Father, for people that are listening when this goes online, we do pray for them, pray for each one, and we pray it could be a blessing for them. We're reading from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There was a story in Reader's Digest about a young fellow that would remove snow for people. He would shovel sidewalks and he would snowblow the dooryard. And one day, as he was doing this, a lady next door to where he was working came and made signals for him to come over. He went over to see what the lady wanted. She said, Young man, would you shovel my sidewalk and do my dooryard for me? He said, Yes, I can do that. So he did. When he got done, she came back to the door and she said, Now, young man, how much do I owe you? And he said, Well, 25 will do. She went back into the house, returned a short while later. He opened his hand and she placed a quarter in his hand. That was 25 cents. He didn't say anything. He put it in his pocket and he went away. The story says he continued to do that for that lady until the day she died. She never knew the difference and he never said anything. That's character. That's really something. That's above and beyond. And I use that story to illustrate Joseph, the kind of person that Joseph was. The Bible has no place recorded of his saying anything to anybody. We have recorded in the Bible the angel talking to him, but not of his talking back. We don't have him talking to the innkeeper when they came to the inn to find a place to sleep in Bethlehem. We don't have a recording of him talking to Mary. We don't even have a recording of him talking to God. There's no recording of him talking to an angel. And he didn't talk to the tax collector. And you would certainly think when somebody's going to raise your taxes or make you change locations so your tax could be collected, that you would have something to say. No, he didn't talk to any of these people. He didn't talk to Simeon. It says in Luke in chapter 2:29, Simeon proclaimed, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And then we read about Anna in chapter 2 and verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. We've listed all these people, these individuals, and even God, and we don't have a conversation from Joseph. He just seemed to be willing to accept the things the way they were and acted upon them. Even in the scriptures, after Luke chapter 2, there's no mention of him any longer in the scriptures. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, only 24 of the books mention Joseph. And actually, only 22 of the books of the New Testament mention Mary. They both had a role to play, and they played their role well. We too have a role to play, but do we play it well? They were in tune with the things of God, and then whenever God spoke to them, they were willing to obey and do what he asked of them. We all have a role to play under the sun, that sun, S-U-N, but we also have a role to play under the sun, and that is S-O-N. Because of what the Lord Jesus did for us in redeeming us, we should also be willing to serve him in the life in which we have. Everyone had a role. Adam was to care and to protect the garden. Eve was to have children and cooperate with Adam. Noah was to build an ark. And all the time in which that ark was being built, Noah was to preach the word of God about the coming judgment. Moses was to lead the children of Israel for 40 years. Joshua was to bring Israel into the promised land. Jonah was to preach to Nineveh. David was to be the king of Israel. Elijah was to confront the prophets of Baal. Peter was to present the gospel to Israel. Paul was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Barnabas was to encourage believers, and Timothy was to be a model pastor. How about you? Do you have a role? Has God called you to do something in your life, in your profession, in your family, in your neighborhood? What we have before us here is a tale of a Joseph, and the Bible has a tale of two different Josephs, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we study Joseph, the man who didn't lose faith in God, in spite of the circumstances. He was rejected. He was almost murdered. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten by the family for the most part. Years went by, and then his brothers appeared. Joseph had had a dream before he got sold as a slave into Egypt, and that dream came from God. And he knew that God was going to do something, and he was faithful in relation to that revelation that he got from God. In the New Testament, we have this Joseph. He finds out that the woman he's betrothed to is pregnant, and he's deciding what he should do when the angel appeared to him and told him that that child was a God child. He was to go down into Egypt to flee Herod, and then when God spoke to him, to come back and to raise this child as his own. That's quite a responsibility. That takes faith. Joseph had faith. Both the Joseph of the Old Testament and the Joseph of the New Testament had faith. We have the records in the New Testament of two genealogies. One's Joseph and one's Mary. But his name is mentioned in both. In Matthew chapter 1, it records Joseph's genealogy back to Abraham, which gives Jesus legal right to be the king of Israel. He was found in that line. In Luke chapter 3, we have a genealogy that traces Mary's back to Adam, showing the human lineage of Jesus. He was both God and he was man. Those are the records. And then we have the reality. And I have to say this, the reality is the reality. Today, we can buy virtual reality or what's called virtual reality, and they put a mechanism over your eyes, and you're able to see things that, well, they're not really there. You can even take trips somewhere, and you can see things in different countries just as though you were there. You can even fly in an airplane and look down and see the topography before you. But it's not real. It's only a mechanical thing that gives you that sense. But when you take it off, you're back to reality. And reality is you're where you are and you're who you are. Reality is quite a thing. Joseph was a realist. He took everything that came from God, and he knew that that was the real thing, and he was going to follow through. Back in my hometown, we had an old man. His name was Bill. He used to live in a little log cabin. And my brother brought Bill a load of firewood. My brother had a truck with a self-loader on it. He was unloading the load of logs when Bill came to the door and made signs for him to come in. So he crawled down from the loader and went to see what Bill wanted. Bill said, "Young man, I'm making bread." He said, "I was wondering if you could take that crane of yours and come in here and take my bread out of the oven." Well, Bill had a sense of humor. Bill was in the nursing home here. And every once in a while, when I would be going through the nursing home, I'd look in on Bill. This particular day, Bill had his leg in a whirlpool. Bill only had one leg. The other one was cut off just below the knee. So he had this leg in a whirlpool, and I walked in, and I said, "Well, Bill, how's it going?" He pulled the leg out of the whirlpool, and he held it up, and his toenails looked like claws on a big bird. He said, "What do you think of that? Looks some awful, doesn't it?" I said, "Yeah, Bill, it does look kind of awful." He put that leg back in the whirlpool. He lifted up his stub, and he had me look at it, and he said, "You know, I don't know what my toenails are like on this one. I haven't seen them in a long time." Well, that was Bill. Bill had a sense of humor, but Bill was talking about reality. And the reality was he was in the nursing home. Reality was he only had one leg, and that wasn't in very good shape. But that was the real thing. Joseph, I believe, was a realist. He took the situation before him, and he acted accordingly. Do we do the same? It's a good question, isn't it? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Not expected, not planned. All of a sudden he's broadsided. We all have those things. Things that happen in life. Sometimes they come out of nowhere. And we wish they would go away. Or we wish they would never have happened. But they did. And they're not going away. And we have to deal with them. I think Joseph was the kind of individual that realized that he was a child of God, and whatever God brought his way, that's what he had to deal with. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." The angel was telling Joseph to go down to Egypt because Herod wanted to destroy that child. Well, that's a monumental thing to do, to leave Israel and go down to Egypt. And besides that, so many places in the Word of God, they were warned not to go into Egypt. And here God was asking Joseph to go into Egypt. Why does it have to be like that? I mean, you would think if he's a son of God, that God would just put a protective covering all around that family, and they could live wherever they wanted, and everything would turn out all right. But the reality is, they had to flee. There's a human aspect to this life in which we live, and there's a divine aspect. And we can't just say, "Well, God's will." We have to be willing to do what God says. So many warnings about Egypt, and yet he went there. I think it must have been like Peter when that sheet came down from heaven with all those animals in there. And Peter realized that, well, pork chops would be on the menu. How did he feel about that? According to the Old Testament scriptures, in relation to food, that was off the menu. But now God was saying, "Whatever I make clean, it's clean." By the way, when you're redeemed, God makes you clean, and you're clean. Your family might not accept that, and your neighbors might not accept that, and people you work with might not accept that. But that's what God says. He takes our sin, and he gives us his righteousness. That's a tremendous thing. We read this in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. One more time, God's directing his steps. And oh, by the way, Harry, if you look at that verse closely, you realize that, well, politicians die. And sometimes we just have to wait them out. But God directed his steps. Time is up in Egypt. Time to move on. And that's exactly what he did. Because he's Joseph. That's the way Joseph does things. We read in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2 and verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." They marveled at those things that were spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was part of their family, but he was not part of their family. He was human, yet he was divine. There was a special calling on his life, and there was something about the way in which he was going to die that would even pierce Mary's soul. Luke chapter 2 and verse 43, "When they had finished the days as they returned, The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Hillel. These things marked him all his life. That big question hung over him. John chapter 6 and verse 42. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" There was a lot of misunderstanding in relation to him, who he was, and his purpose here on the earth. Joseph, Mary, had to carry these things throughout their life. Even today, unfortunately, that's questioned of exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Joseph and Mary had to carry that, if we could say, that baggage, that thing that was difficult, hard, pierced even the soul at times. You know, there are misunderstandings, there are past sins, there are deficits, there are unbelieving mates, there are unbelieving children, there are relatives. Every one of us in this congregation here today carries something, and we're never going to get rid of it. We'll carry it throughout this life. And it's part of the program and part of the plan that God has for us in particular, just like with Joseph, just like with Mary. And then thirdly, there's the reaction. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. There's no violent reaction here. We don't see that at all with Joseph. We could say this, that Joseph is managing his hurt. When I was a kid growing up and we'd be playing basketball or something, maybe somebody would take a hit and it wasn't intentional. But somebody got hurt. And sometimes that person who got hurt had a violent reaction. He wanted to fight. Sometimes the person who got hurt realized it was part of the game. And sometimes you get hurt and it's nobody's fault. Managing hurt's quite a thing. Joseph had a way to manage hurt. It wasn't what was best for him, but it was what's best for others. He was thinking about that. He was reasoning. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." God was on time. It was the right time. God was moving the chess pieces. But because of that, there was a man by the name of Joseph. And when he received some of the information, he was afraid. But he didn't have to be afraid. Isn't it interesting, when heaven touches earth, we always hear this statement, "Do not fear." We have a fear of God, a fear of what God's going to ask us to do. But you know something? God will never ask us to do something that will not give us the power and the wisdom to be able to perform. This leads to his responsibility. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. He did that. He married Mary. They had the child. And they went through the difficult process of going to Egypt, returning, raising that child, hearing those things that were said about him, the conflict that it caused. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Events. Accepting things the way they are. No excuses. Shouldering the burden. How about you? You willing to do that? You know life is not going to last very long. It's short, really. You're 15 years old and you wake up, seems like the next morning, and you're 67. Life is short. How about doing something with it? How about responding to the call of God? Listening to his voice? You know, the Bible is the only way in which God communicates to us, in a way in which we can understand and react. We know there's a God because of creation that's all around us. But that doesn't give us direction. The direction has to come from God. We're to read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and we're to apply the Word of God to our life. It says Joseph did. He did what he was told by God. So should we. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe was lying in the manger. Talking about those shepherds in that day, shepherds were people that lived in the outback. If you said you were a shepherd, you were like a nobody. If you were a carpenter, you were somebody. If you were a Pharisee, you were somebody, or a Sadducee. Even if you were a Herodian, you were somebody. But a shepherd wasn't a somebody. A shepherd was a nobody. When God came to this earth and was born of the Virgin, he chose that shepherds should be there. And they came. And when you read that story in Luke's Gospel, you see that they rejoiced because they saw salvation. Salvation was a child. Salvation was the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. And then there were wise men who came. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. They were wise men. They came some time later, but they had wisdom. They were looking for something outside of this world. They were looking for a message from God. And they came later, so this family wouldn't have to be alone. Luke chapter 1, verse 27 says, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. All these verses that I gave you in relation to Joseph speak about a number of things. One of them is work. Work. You know, man always had to work. Even before the fall, Adam was to work. But it became more difficult after the fall. Work is still work, but it's more difficult than it had to be because God has placed on the human race a curse. What Joseph was called to do was work, nothing less. He just had to be at it every day. Whatever is required in the economy of God, that's what he was to do. That's called work. By the way, the ministry is called work. Missions called work. It's all work. Being the Christian that we should be is work. So many things in life are work. You have to work at keeping your body together. You have to work at financially providing for the family. There are so many things you have to work at. And in ministry, there's a work to do. And it's not just for the person behind the pulpit or the person in the ministry, in the mission field. It's for everyone. Henry Blackaby, in his book, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, made an encouraging observation. He writes this: some people say, God will never ask me to do something I can't do. I have come to the place in my life that the assignment I sense God is giving me is something that I know I can handle. I know that it's probably not from God. The kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. They are always beyond what people can do because he wants to demonstrate his nature, his strength, his provision, and his kindness to his people and to the watching world. That is the only way the world will come to know him. That was true 2,000 years ago, and that's true today. Joseph probably thought his life was pretty well planned. He had an occupation, he had a marriage, the future looked good. But you know, it didn't turn out that way. I like reading biographies. I like reading about people that I know a little bit about, but not enough to really understand, especially where they were born, the circumstances in which they were born, where they went to school, the things in life that molded and shaped them into the individual that they became, how they lived, and how they died. Joseph, everything was going smoothly when he discovers his bride's pregnant, and all of a sudden everything has changed. Sometimes in life that happens. Something comes into our human experience that's, to us at the time, almost unacceptable. But however, it's in the will of God. Joseph had options. Under the Jewish economy, someone caught in that condition could be stoned. But he quickly put that out of his mind. And then he thought about putting her away privately. It says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph consistently did what the angel of the Lord said. We read this in chapter 2, and beginning at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. He was a wise man. He always had options. But there was only one option with Joseph, and that was just to do the right thing. Not to hurt other people unnecessarily, just to follow through on the program of God. Didn't matter how difficult it might be. Life is to be lived. No excuses, no reservations, no holding back. Making a difference in our generation. Floyd Foss was a minister, and he gives this story. He met a man named Worrell. Mr. Worrell had been stricken with rheumatoid arthritis at a young age, at the age of 15. When Floyd met Mr. Worrell 30 years later, he was completely immobile, except for one finger. He could barely speak and was totally blind. But Mr. Worrell had a string tied to that one finger he could move. That string was somehow hooked to a tape recorder that Mr. Worrell used to write books and articles for national magazines. He lived a meaningful and happy life from his bed. This was possible because after their prayers for healing were not answered, Mr. Worrell graciously accepted his lot and said to his God, Well, Lord, if this is the size, plot, in life you staked out for me, let's you and me together show the world that we can grow on it. Isn't that a tremendous statement? We can make a difference in our generation. There's a poem that goes like this. Mr. Meant-to-be has a comrade, and his name is Didn't Do. Have you ever chanced to meet them? Did they ever call on you? These two fellows live together in the house of Never Win, and I'm told that it is haunted by the ghost of Might Have Been. What a shame to waste a life. God put us here. He created us. We're not Joseph or Mary. We're not Moses. We're not Abraham, not Adam. We're who we are, and this is our time in the sun. What are we going to do with it? They did something with it. There's an old hymn, Faith is the Victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. That's real faith. There was a football coach, and he had an assistant who was one of the players, and they were professional players. And the coach decided that he would allow this young man to do a little bit of searching to find other young men who would be willing to play football. And he did that. But before he did that, he talked to the coach and he asked the coach, he said, What kind of a football player are we looking for? And the coach said, Well, you know, that man that when he gets hit in the game, he's knocked down and he stays down. And the young man said, That's not the one we're looking for, is it? He said, No, that's not the one we're looking for. He said, Then there's a fellow that he's in the game and he gets hit and he's knocked down. And he gets up, and he gets hit, and he's knocked down again, and he stays down. He said, That's not the fellow we're looking for either, is it, coach? He said, No, that's not the one. He said, Then there's a fellow in the game, and he gets hit, and he's knocked down, and he gets up. He gets hit again, and he's knocked down again, and he gets up. And then he's hit again, and he's knocked down, and he gets up. And the young fellow said, Coach, that's the guy we're looking for. He said, No, that's not the one either. He said, Well, coach, what kind of a player are we looking for? He said, We're looking for the one that's knocking all these guys down. That's the one we're looking for. Well, who's God looking for? It says in the song, the one I just gave a verse for, to him who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. When it's all over, wouldn't it be nice to have a good record? You see, we don't have much about Joseph, but boy, he's got a good record. And when it's over, we'll know the rest of the story. And when it's over for us, we'll know the rest of the story also. We thank you for coming today, and we pray that this message might have been a blessing to you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those characters we're studying in Scripture that have gone on before us, that have paved the way by faith, that we might too walk in faith. And we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.